Twister Talk with Gary, Sue, and Brandon starts now.
It's a twister! It's a twister!
Back up! Back up! Back up!
And welcome to Twister Talk. I'm Gary. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to finish up our interview with James Spann. James Spann is currently the chief meteorologist at WBMA in Birmingham. That's ABC 30/40. He's best known for just being an all-out weather guy in that area of the country. And his coverage of the 2011 super outbreak in that area. Remember the Dixie outbreak? His coverage won him awards and applause for the work he did, and he is credited with saving many lives during that outbreak. It was an incredible day. He'll be talking a little bit about that. And again, talking about the driving forces in weather that keep him going. It's a great story, and we finish up our interview. Brandon and myself will finish the interview, and let's get right to it. The question I wanted to ask we both, you and I both have a background in Christianity and faith, and I was reading about that, and I wanted to mention that. How does that work? Because, you know, you hear a lot of people, you know, today, I have friends that say, you know, Christianity and science don't mix, and I think, you know, quote, science, the real things like weather and other things, of course they can mix and work, you know, other things, you know, some of the crazy stuff out there. No, but as a person of faith, James, how does that integrate in your life and in your job and and how you do the weather forecast?
Well, I think everybody's called to do something. We were born to do something. And mm-hmm. I was born to be standing in front of a green wall when there are tornadoes flying around here. And when you understand your purpose in life, life gets really good and you develop a passion for it. Mm-hmm. And you're equipped to do it and you're called to do it. And you love it. I cannot wait to come to work every day. Some people look at me and say, this guy's a lunatic. He works from 4 a.m. to 1 a.m. and sleeps 3 hours a night. He has no life. No, I've got the greatest life in the world because I'm doing what I'm called to do. So having that knowledge that the creator of this universe has called you to do that, that's pretty cool. And the other thing, it really helps during tragedies. I will tell you guys, I heard one of the most amazing sermons I've ever heard in my life on Sunday from Kelly Klim. Kelly Klim, and I was at the 30-year remembrance service of the Goshen United Methodist Church. This is the church where 20 people died right in the church Palm Sunday. And unspeakable tragedy.
Yes.
But Kelly Klim was the pastor in 1994, and she came back and delivered the sermon this past Sunday. Mm. And the sermon was, where was God? Because that's what everybody wanted to know. Where was God? What church? 20 people died? And what she had to say was just, I need to clip that from their YouTube channel and just take some notes. But she went through at least 50 good deeds through people that changed lives, that God was shown in the good deeds that people delivered to the people of that church in the minutes, hours, days, and weeks after that horrible tornado tragedy. He was right there in the midst of it. Why were those 20 people taken home? Nobody knows that. We'll find out at some other place or some other time, but their time here was clearly done. And I'm telling you, I cried like a baby listening to her sermon and all of these amazing things that people did. So I think science integrates perfectly with Christianity, and you know, it is a calling. I think everybody's called to do something.
Right.
We have different gifts and spiritual gifts. And when you learn what they are, plug into a ministry where you can use that. And listen, I do other things. I do children's worship. I would be a third grade science teacher if I didn't do this for a living. I love teaching third grade. Sundays, I've got K through five. I do two children's worship services, one for K1 and 2, one for 3, 4, and 5. Greatest part of the week. Absolutely love that.
Now,
and I volunteer at hospital, and that's a ministry too. I've been the chairman of the board of a major hospital here for 19 years.
Oh, wow.
So when you learn that we're left here to help other people, ministry, that's it. It's not about us. It's about helping others. And when you figure that
amen
out, life gets good.
Yeah, that's what we're here. We're called to be. We're called to be that arm. We're called to be the, as he said, the body, and we're called to be the feet and the hands that go everywhere. And that's a wonderful way of putting it. And we're all out there to do something, and it might be good for all of us to kind of take a moment and remember what that is we're supposed to be doing. Brandy, how many any last questions you need to want to throw this way?
Actually, yes, I do have a couple of questions I would like to ask here as we wrap up. One of them is, we all grow up and we are taught that the failures and the setbacks that we experience in life can help pave the way to success by providing important lessons and wisdom. So with that in mind, what do you feel is the single greatest setback you've experienced, and what lesson did it provide without which you feel that you would not have had the success that you have subsequently experienced?
Well, the greatest challenge in my life, my father walked out on me and my mom when I was 7, never said goodbye, never paid a dime of child support, and we were broke. And you know what, though? I learned how to work hard, and I'll tell you guys a secret about me. I'm not good at anything I do. I mean, I'm not good at anything I do, but you know what? I'll work harder than anybody else to accomplish a goal. And that work ethic came about as a result of my father leaving. And I think that's a good example of, you know, a really traumatic situation turning into something good. And April 27, 2011, worst day of my career. 252 people died on my watch. But it's been turned in that we learn that we need social science. We need behavioral science. We need to expand what we do. We're not good enough by ourselves. And I wouldn't know that if that didn't happen. And so we are better, we're stronger, we're better communicators, and the death toll will be lower because of the things we learned on that day. You've got to take those setbacks and turn them into something positive.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, 100%. And, my final question here. There are people out there who would be very interested in involving themselves in the weather community, whether they go for it to become a forecaster, whether they go for the communications angle, storm chasing, or maybe other aspects of it. And they don't have and don't necessarily have the ability to complete formal training or get a degree in meteorology. So what advice would you offer for those who are still wishing to contribute? And do you think that maybe apprenticeships in weather forecasting or broadcasting or meteorology would be a good idea?
Yeah, and a couple of things on that. If you want to do this professionally, but if you struggle with math, and a lot
which
of people,
both Gary and I do, that's right. He and I both went for meteorology, and that's kind of what flushed us out.
Right. Well, one career path that I always recommend is emergency management, where that doesn't require the math, but you're directly involved in weather situations, and you can help people during, you know, threatening times of weather and other emergencies. And I think that's a great career path. And if you don't want to do it for a living, go get spotter training. All the weather service offices typically offer that. Many of them offer them online. And become a spotter for the National Weather Service and get involved with them that way. And that's an amazing way to help. So, but if your passion is weather, if you think about it day and night, if you look at the weather all the time, if you just think about it, maybe you're called to do this. And maybe you, I don't care if you're 30 or 40 or 50 years old, you can go back to college anytime you want to. And there's a lot of distance learning opportunities at various major meteorology programs around the country. And look at the distance learning. You can work while you're in school, or maybe you want to quit your job and go on a campus. That's all up to you. And what I tell people all the time, you got to follow your passion. You've got to follow your passion, whatever that is.
Absolutely. I'm a certified trained spotter.
Agree.
Yeah, I'm a trained spotter. And James, I love every moment of it. I enjoy, you know, when the spotter network is activated, I'm right out there, man. It's like, let's go. Because to me, it's very rewarding because I've called Wilmington on a couple things that, hey, this is what I'm seeing right now. One time I called and said, I'm seeing this with the cloud formation. He says, well, that confirms other spotters calling in the same thing. And so I said, now we know what to, they went ahead and issued a severe thunderstorm warning for the area because they weren't sure on the radar, but our report saying, yeah, we're seeing this, these kind of winds, this kind of hail size. And they said, well, that confirms what we're sending out to the network right now for warning. So that's kind of, to me, that's a very rewarding thing that you're confirming what they may be seeing on the radar or not seeing. You say, well, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a wall cloud here and all these other things. And they go, well, good. That helps us decide what we're going to do when we issue these warnings. So I can't, if folks, and we keep talking about this all the time, if you can't do anything else, train to be a spotter. It's rewarding. And, you know, you may save lives or help people, and you won't even know about it because of what you're seeing and reporting. It really can make the difference between life and death. James, any final thoughts for all our listeners and fans out there?
No, I'm just, again, I'm delighted to be here. And again, for those that want to get involved, like you say, being a spotter, goodness, that ground truth can't be beat. And getting those credible reports is just great. So, and if you do want to be a weather enthusiast, if you can push out good, reliable information, you can help us. We've learned that one of our greatest resources is weather dweebs, geeks, nerds, dorks, weenies, people that just love weather. And what they do, they will text their family members if they know their family members in a tornado warning polygon. Maybe a friend, or just they are a vital part of this whole process. So for all of those that are just weather enthusiasts, thank you for the help. We need it.
And remember, like James says, respect the polygon.
You got that right. Respect that thing and you'll be good.
Respect the polygon. It ain't up there because it looks pretty. It's up there for a reason. James Spann, our guest today on Twister Talk. James, thank you so much and really appreciate you taking time to talk to us. And wow, it's been a lot of fun and very informative.
Yes, it has.
So,
all right, guys, thank you all so much. I got to get to do some television. Y'all have a blessed day. Thanks.
All right, God bless you.
You too. Thank you.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that concludes our interview with James Spann here on Twister Talk. As we reminisce about the Super outbreak in 1974 and his work on the Dixie outbreak of 2011. For Twister Talk and Sue and Brandon, I'm Gary. We'll see you next time.